Let us pray together, center our hearts and minds in this space. Creator, you spoke the world into existence. You speak new life into your children to give us the light of the knowledge of you and your mysteries. Give us the grace to receive your word and rejoice in it, and may we use it to spread your love and light throughout our communities. Amen. My Grandma Doris is one of the biggest reasons why I decided to enter ministry. Standing at a good 4 feet and a few inches, she was stubborn and full of laughter. Her story began as a farm kid outside of Norwich, Ontario, and through working the farm, having 4 children, and the early death of my grandfather, she had a really good grasp of how connecting with friends and family was important during some really tough times. My grandma taught me how important it was to offer house guests cookies from the famous cream-colored cookie jar, what housed her homemade ginger cookies. She taught me how far a hug and a kind word would go when in a moment those things were the only things you had to offer. In her years later, my grandma became a grandmother of a whole school of children. She offered to be a helper at a breakfast program. She carried of stories of children who were longing for the slightest bit of love from an adult. Kids desperate for a grandma who would sit and listen to them, and my grandma was that person. She made an impact on so many children's lives during her 92 years, and she was changing lives up to the very end of her time. When I read the story of Mary and Martha, Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, resisting all cultural and political norms that said that she should be preparing for her guest, and Martha doing what she knew best in the situation by taking care of what needed to be done, I can picture my tiny grandma as Jesus going into the kitchen, plucking a ginger cookie from the jar, and taking Martha by the hand, saying, "Come, my child, rest with Mary. There is time to do other tasks later, but for now, my time is only little." In the scripture reading, we never get the other half of the story. We only hear what I see as an invitation from Jesus, not a scolding. Jesus drawing Martha out of her distractions into a time where she can connect to Jesus, his teachings, and a time of fellowship. Imagine the effort Martha would have had to make to lay down the dishcloth and put down the paring knife and leave her comfortable world of responsibilities, to sit in a place far out of her comfort zone. Readers are also not privy to what their discussion was about. Maybe it was some of the parables, or Jesus' birth story, or maybe Jesus opened space to really hear and listen to what was on the hearts and minds of Mary and Martha. Vulnerability is a scary thing to be welcomed into. Sharing between 2 people without the buffer of technology or a written letter has become a sense of anxiety for some, and rightly so. Yet without these moments of vulnerability between people, humans forget that the recipient of the text or email or message has a heart full of feelings and experiences too. In a culture of hectic schedules, relentless pursuit of productivity, and our drive to consume the newest thing, we are tempted to become lost in connecting with one another in a fleeting fashion. We become like the Israelites in the Amos story, where our end goal is to have enough money in our pension so we can retire comfortably, regardless of the people we step on along the way to get there. The people of Israel, Amos accused, had created a system which perpetuates injustice. Not only is their worship inauthentic, but they have oriented everything about themselves to how they can exploit one another for monetary gain. The wealthy have objectified the poor, trading them as commodities. Makers add rubbish to their wages, peddling it as quality. Even religious holidays have become essential days of exploitation and anticipation of future exploitation. The language of the passage reminded me of the level of desperation depicted by the master of the house from Les Mis, in which the inn owners repeatedly defrauded, robbed, and exploited their guests for monetary gain. And in the end, God knows the inhumanity that happened. Amos was a working theologian, a man on the ground responding to what he saw every day around him. All of us, as working theologians, try to do the same. And some of the issues we are grappling with appear to be both irreversible and collective. Take poverty, for example. It has been largely caused by the uneven distribution of wealth among the working population and will continue to have consequences for all, regardless of what we've done individually. But only money gets us so far. Yes, money can support programs and fund housing, open food banks, but as we saw with our sister Martha, when we are distracted with things and possessions, we miss the real connection that happens when we sit face to face with one another. We need people doing the groundwork. We need people connecting with others and showing them that they are worthy of a life that is not stuck in a system of injustice and poverty. My grandma, while serving up toast and jam, took a 6-year-old little child on her knee that she noticed was sitting alone down the table. She had watched this one for a few days and decided to have a talk with them. The child's voice broke as they told of a family violence, of a family broken because of money and housing, lack of work and utilities being cut off. My grandma didn't offer money or a solution at hand. Instead, Grandma opened her ears and her heart and connected with this child. After the chat, the child went off to class, and Grandma saw them the next day and for years after. And for the 7 years my grandma helped with the breakfast program, she spoke to hundreds of children with similar stories. This particular child has grown up and is working on their PhD in political sciences, focusing on Indigenous relations because there was at least one adult who believed in their potential. It's not a secret thing. People have been desiring community and connections for forever. It may seem like we are so connected now through social media, email, and such, where instant connection is possible, but somehow we feel empty after a long string of emails. We forget that the recipients of these messages have lives, feelings, and experiences that inform how we live. I've been following the stories of the children who have been held at the Mexican-U.S. border. At any given time for the past several weeks, 2,000 children have been held in the custody of the U.S. Border Patrol without their parents. Legally, they're not supposed to be held by border agents for more than 72 hours before being sent to the Department of Health and Human Services, which is responsible for finding their nearest relative in the U.S. to house them while their immigration cases are adjudicated. In practice, they're being held for days, sometimes weeks, in facilities without enough food or toothbrushes, going days without showering, overcrowded, and under care for. These facilities are being likened to concentration camps, conditions frighteningly similar in just practices of separating children from parents. And during all of this, I wonder if the Border Patrol guards... I wonder if the Border Patrol guards remember that they are people too. These kids breathe and eat and function the same as the adults who are severely impacting their lives. They cry, laugh, and feel emotions that they may not understand. Yet, while adults, who are supposed to trust, march around taking their mattresses and blankets away as punishments. And where is the humanity in all of this? When families are fleeing and attempting to find a safe place to live, border lines and guards demanding that these people are less than human because of nationality and politics. It breaks my heart. I hear echoes of Amos saying, "Surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account and everyone mourn who lives in it?" Though the people fail God, God is never failing. God will create something new out of the death of the chosen people, and God says to Amos, "Do not rush to find resurrection and miss this opportunity to dwell on the truth of God's justice." Jesus encourages Martha to reconsider the one last thing that is needed. And in my interpretation of the story, what is needed is to stop and connect with our hearts to one another. God's call to the church is to be the hands and feet of God in the world, offering love, working for each other's good. And when we seek fellowship and set aside our technology and arrange to meet one another face to face, it is where we encounter God. It is acknowledging the spirit within another human, the same spirit that was sparked in your creation. When we speak to one another, that spark is illuminated. Our humanity is restored, and we remember that others feel like we do. Others have trials and joys, and in realizing this, we come together as community, no longer fearful to share what is at the depths of our hearts. It is no secret. Building community and sharing the love between people Jesus encouraged us to share requires no secret code names or clubs. I regret that on Tuesdays I usually have class, so I don't make it out to our busy social time or the soup lunches or the whatever else is happening on Tuesdays. But Jubilee, you are already doing the work of connecting with one another, with opening your doors to those who wander in. And so far, I have found a safe and supportive community to connect with, to discern with, and to learn and grow with. So perhaps we can use Amos as a model, inspiring us to be courageous with our communities. Following his lead, we can boldly consider the hard questions that confront us. Through preaching, teaching, conversation, and debate, our churches and communities can be places where we are not afraid to talk about things that really matter, where we are not afraid to be vulnerable, where we are not afraid to show the spark of our own humanity to others and the world. So take a cookie from the cookie jar and offer it to a guest, a stranger, or someone you have known forever, and listen to their story. You might learn something about them, and you might learn something about yourself too. Amen.